No, I'm good. Good morning. All right. These transitions are always hard. Like, go from announcements, come up here, and I'm going to, like, speak and hopefully give you something that you walk out of here and radically changes your life. It sounds magical, doesn't it? Do me a favor. Don't rely on me. Don't rely on me. I'm going to ask you just for a moment, would you just, like, just rest? Would you just breathe for a second? Concentrate on your chest kind of going up and down and air coming in and out. And the exercise that I always use is, like, I'm literally breathing in the presence of God. That's not oxygen. Focus on the fact that God wants to actually invade your heart and mind and soul this morning. It's not my message, it's His. It's His breath, it's His power, it's His spirit. So would you just take like 2 minutes? No looking around, shut off all your devices, stop thinking about yesterday, stop thinking about the yard work you gotta do this afternoon. I don't know what it is. Would you take a 2-minute Sabbath and just breathe? Just do that. Holy Spirit, we wait on you today. I know you've been waiting on us, so it makes sense that we would wait on you. That no matter what stole the relationship between us and you throughout the week, whether it was busyness or work or a job or a phone call or a trip to the doctor, be as easy as a text message. Whatever stole that, Lord, we wait on you and ask you to bring it back. Bring your presence back to us. May we hear your heart. May we hear your heartbeat and lead us and guide us this morning. May your word penetrate our heart in a way that we would walk out of here and say, I gotta go read that again. I gotta go wait on you again. I gotta walk with you again. May this just be a launching point for something deeper today. So we give you praise and glory and honor for everything you're gonna do here in Jesus' name. Little technical thing down just a bit on my voice, if you heard. I'm ringing like crazy up here, and I don't like to hear myself ring. So the last 2 weeks have been kind of crazy. I mean, honestly, they've been borderline crazy here. So much so like Jake said, we would forget the offering. Most churches would say you can't forget the offering. Like many churches would say, that's the most important thing, is how much money we got in the bank. And I would say, absolutely, you are completely wrong. Because the most important thing is how much of his presence we are consuming. How much of the Holy Spirit that we can actually tap into. Because honestly, it doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank if you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have him walking with you, if you don't have him guiding you, leading you, there is nothing that will secure you. Nothing. Because more money will just ask and beg and beg you to ask for more money. You want more love, you're going to have to beg for more love because it'll never be enough. You want more security, you're going to ask for more security because more security in your life sometimes will breed more insecurity. You know, there's nothing worse in the world than being insecure. Nothing worse than being fearful. And you're looking at a pastor up here that is fearful. Like, I've been scared all my life. Anybody with me? Anybody been scared of the dark when you were five? I still believe there's something under my bed, and I'm 48. And it's not my dog. There's something down there. On an occasion, I will actually have this idea that there's something in my room. The other night, I walked into my garage. Don't ask me why, but there was something there. I felt it. And I'm not saying it was the boogeyman. I'm saying it was something real. There was something actually in that room that forced me, as a man of God, as somebody who's continually now, even honestly at 48, I feel like I'm going deeper in his presence now than I ever have in my life. And I probably said that when I was 25. And I probably said that when I was 30. And I probably said that when I was 40. I've probably preached this message in some way, shape, or form, but I'm going to tell you right now, like right now, I feel him at a level that I've never felt him. But it's weird because the deeper I seem to go with the Holy Spirit in the presence of God, the deeper I start to feel things that come against me. Anybody with me? It's like, man, I've tried. I keep forcing myself into that presence of your Holy Spirit and walking with you. And every time I do, somehow, some way, something presses against me. And I went out in that garage and I just claimed my stake. I said, you know what? There is a bunch of junk in this room right now. And there is. If you saw my garage, you'd say, wow, did you just move? No, like 6 months ago. But there's still junk. We can't park two cars in there. There's so much junk. Why? I have no idea. We just have garbage out there. And I don't even know what's out there. And my wife's going, no, it's not garbage. We're keeping that stuff. I don't know why. We stored it for like 5 years and paid $100 a month for a storage unit, and I don't even know what's out there. I just wasted money. And I'm out there, and I'm like, you're not touching my junk. I don't care who you are. And I started to claim that room, and I just started to just pray over the whole, pray over my garage. I said, I don't care how you try to enter into my home or my family. The garage is not going to be your starting point. You're going to stop right here. And I called him for who he was. And I literally opened the garage door, said, go on out. Because I have the authority as a man of God, according to even the book of James, says all you have to do is resist the enemy and he flees from you. Now, why would I just resist the enemy and flee? If I'm alone and I don't have God's presence, I'll tell you what, there's no resistance that's going to come against the enemy. But if I'm walking with the presence of the Holy Spirit and I'm walking in power, I can guarantee you in that room, there is nothing that the enemy can take. And you have that same power available to you. There's nothing worse than insecurity. I mean, literally, I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of my grandma's false teeth, not because of the teeth, but because when she would leave them out at night, she was a different lady, right? I could not stand to look at my grandma with her false teeth out, like her chin went up to her nose, and I was like, what are you doing, right? You know, like, but here's the thing. Whenever I would be insecure or fearful about something, you know what I had this innate ability to do? I could put myself in my happy place. I could dream something that was real in my heart and mind. I was just talking to my brother about this. We were sitting in my office a couple weeks ago, and he just came in. He's retired now as a state patrolman, and now he won't leave me alone. He just shows up randomly, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm working, bro, like seriously. And he comes in, and he sits on my couch, and we begin to talk about what I'm going to talk about today. And I said, I was so scared when I was a kid. He goes, yeah, you were. And he said, true story, so was I. And I never thought my brother was scared. And I said, Scott, we live 28 miles out in the country in the middle of Kansas. Like, that's like the moon. And we could, like, put ourselves in a place of dreaming that when our fears were somehow coming into our life, we could dream about something and put ourselves there, and the fears would dissipate. He goes, I know. He goes, do you remember, like, broomsticks and rocks and hitting those rocks across the street into the sewer pond? And if we hit the sewer pond, we hit a home run and we were playing for the Yankees. I said, yeah. And he looked at me and he goes, how many world championships did we win 28 miles out in the country? And I said, a lot. I said, we were the star quarterback. We were the hero. We were everything. And I said, you know what's interesting about dreams like that, though? At the end of the day, they're just dreams. They're not real. And I thought about how the church in America, who good grief. I thought about our church. And I don't want us walking in here ever planning an event, planning a service, somehow giving you the right songs and me being able to get up here and give you a message that's somehow going to make you walk out of here and go, gosh, he was so funny. And that verse was neat too. I don't want to plan anything that makes it look fake to you. I don't want a fake faith. I don't want a church that's just putting ourselves through the motions and following the trends of the culture. I just met a pastor yesterday at a basketball game, and we got to talking, and he pastors a really small church, and I pastor a really small church, and he used to pastor a really big church, and I was a part of a big church movement in California, and I looked at him, and I said, how's that going for you? And he goes, I get so tired of people coming to me saying, hey, man, how many people are you running on Sunday? He goes, the pecking order of how we actually do church is all based on how many people are in the room, what songs we sing, how good the message is, whether I can communicate something that'll change your life. And I'm telling you what, I am so tired of that. But if I can somehow get you to believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to you deeper than I ever will, then you can walk out of here with power to change your life. I'm not looking for a desired reality that faces your insecurities and your fears. I'm not looking for you to walk out of here going, gosh, that felt good for a moment. Now I don't know what to do tomorrow. If I can somehow get you to believe in the fuel of God's love through the Holy Spirit, you will never run empty. You'll never run empty. And I wrote this down this last week because this is what I was thinking for myself. There is absolutely nothing worse than insecurity, but there is nothing better than the security that we find in the freedom of walking in the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing better when you hear words out of the scriptures that are just like the promises that we talked about. We started singing about these. We're talking about his promises and how good they are and how faithful he is to us. Well, what if you actually believed that what he says in the scriptures is his promise to you is actually true? Not just good words, not just poetry, but what if you actually believed that the Holy Spirit was saying something to you like this? Listen. Listen. Listen to what the Lord who created you. I could just stop there and go for 9 months just on that right there. Just on the creativity of God and what he believes in you. Listen to the Lord who actually created you. The one who formed you, so he created you, but not only is he creating you, he's continuing to form you. He's building you. You ain't done yet. He formed you, and he says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you, and I have called you by name. You are mine. What if you believed that? What if you believed with all sincerity that the God of the universe actually formed you, created you, he formed you, and he calls you by name? So he created you, he formed you, and he calls you. You know what I believe? I believe you'd start to believe that you have a best friend, BFF for life. If you believed that passage truly in your heart, there's no BFF out there that's better than a BFF that he gives you. He is your best friend for life. Because you know what best friends do? Best friends form us. Best friends free us. And best friends never, ever stop calling us. You know, I talked about this. I was just talking about Jake. Jake has a best friend. His name's Andy. He used to be a youth pastor here years ago. Both of these guys were like freshmen in high school, sophomores in high school when they were in my youth ministry. These two were absolutely inseparable. In fact, Andy's dad was concerned that they liked each other too much, if you know what I mean. For real. Like, they would play video games in their underwear, and his dad could not figure out why they would do that, right? They were so, so close. But not just underwear, but underwear and army helmets. He just told me this morning. Don't ask any questions. That is your youth pastor here. And I'm telling you, he's reaching kids with this type of stuff. It's magic. Okay, but listen to me. They were so, so close. Andy and Jake sounded like Andy and Jake. Like, Jake would talk and he sounded like Andy, and Andy would talk and he would sound like Jake. And they both had a communication that was very similar. They acted the same. They formed each other. They had their own, like, language. It wasn't Chinese or Russian. It wasn't English or Hebrew. It was their language. And they could just talk and see each other and know what each other's thinking. But here's the other side of it. As I told him, I said, your relationship with Andy was so freeing because you never had to actually impress Andy. And Andy never had to impress Jake. In fact, their weaknesses to the other person was their greatest strength. He's like, man, you thought that was the weakness of you, and I think that's the coolest thing about you. Friends will literally allow you to live in freedom. But the other one is this: friends never stop calling you. Friends call you when you need them to call you. And friends will call you when you need them to call you, but you don't want them to call you, right? That's what friends do. They will call when you need them, and they will call when you don't want them. Because they will call at 2:00 in the morning when you need to be challenged in your faith. They will call at the times when you need a friend, and you don't want a friend. You see, this is the very, very active role of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't ever leave you. He doesn't stop forming you and creating you. He doesn't stop freeing you, and he is always calling on you. Even when you think he's not there, he is tapping on your shoulder, and he's saying, hello. Because you know what's happening even this morning? As I was sitting on the front row, and I'm sitting here worshiping, if anybody's with me, you can go ahead and raise your hand. But I was sitting on the front row going, man, I'm having a hard time tapping into the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm having a hard time, like, listening to this music and not just be music. I'm having a hard time actually feeling like I'm connecting with God face to face and having a conversation with him. And I looked around the room, and you know what I saw? A whole bunch of people that were having a hard time connecting with the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because he is a relationship that has to grow on you, and in order for him to grow on you, you have to grow on him. And you have to constantly press yourself into his presence. You have to break through the moments that you can't feel him. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, I love this, he said this in a quote in a book that I was reading this week, and he's a great preacher, no longer with us, fantastic man of God. And he said, the Holy Spirit is a person, and people grow on us. If people grow on you, the Holy Spirit can grow on you. He can get more and more. He can increase and increase and increase. He can get stronger and stronger in your life. But it requires us at times to press into that relationship and move towards him and not just say, where are you, God? But to fight through those battles and press into him. God formed you, Jesus ransomed you and freed you, but the Holy Spirit never stops calling on you. And that goes right in line with what Paul was trying to speak into the church of Corinth in the very last passage, this is his benediction to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians. And I've already read it in this series, and I'm going to read it to you again. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be what? With you. That is my prayer for you. It's not that you will remember some clever sermon that I preached, but that you will always believe that the Holy Spirit is with you and he never leaves you. And he calls on you, he forms you, he frees you, he creates you. He is your best friend for life. What would we become? What would you become if you actually believed that the God of all creation was constantly pursuing you? And we're talking the God who made supernovas and the God who made microbiology. The God who actually created beasts and bugs. The God who actually created stars and snakes. The God who created oceans and mountains. The God who created snow and sunshine even in the same season, right? The God who dictates everything that happens according to the law of the universe. It is to him. He created the laws of the universe. He is the law of the universe. If you believe that that God was constantly tapping on your shoulder and saying, hello, I'm actually here one-on-one with you. I'm trying to speak to you. I want to form you, create you. I want to move you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to make sure that you know that I'm never going to leave you. Here's my question. If you knew that God pursued you, what would you fear? What would you doubt? What addiction right now, today, would you say, I'm going to break that? What addiction would you break? Like if you believe that, then there's power in freeing you from that even today, right now, in a moment. What in your past would you forgive yourself for? Right now. Who in your past would you forgive right now? If the God of the universe was pursuing you in all of his power and his Holy Spirit was inside of you, what wouldn't you accomplish today? What wouldn't you do? What dreams would you make a reality and not just leave them as a dream? What would you love? More importantly, who would you love? Who would you love? Who is it that you feel like you can't love that you would love today? Who would you love? How boldly would you approach the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, with these radical, audacious prayers? What prayers would you pray? What impossibilities would you actually pray for? Because prayer is just a two-way communication with the most powerful being in the universe. And the Holy Spirit can be a relationship that builds your life because you're walking with him. I love that passage in Exodus 33. It's a passage in Exodus 33. It's a story about Moses, and Moses is having this conversation with God. Like, it's a conversation. It's not just Moses praying to God. It's dialogue. It's him talking to God and God talking to Moses. And I'll start with verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Moses, get going. Have you ever heard God say that to you? Hey, just get up. Would you put your two feet in front of you or one in front of the other? Don't put two. I mean, you'd be like Tigger hopping everywhere. Two feet. But what if you got up in the morning? Have you ever heard him say, hey, wake up, O sleeper? Just get going. Just get going. And he says, get going. You and the people brought up from the land of Egypt, go up to the land I swore to give. Anybody know what land that is? Go ahead and say it. All you biblical scholars. It's called the promised land, right? You learned this in Sunday school if you grew up in Sunday school. He's saying, listen, I am actually giving you everything you could ever want. It's called the promised land. I'm giving you the promised land. He said that I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give you this land to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you. I love this. Just think about this for a moment. God says to you, get up, get going. I'm going to give you everything you ever wanted. In fact, I'm going to give you a personal angel. Some of you would just be like, ooh, I love angels. That would be awesome. Can you imagine? Oh, who's your friend with the beautiful wings? Oh, this is my personal angel. God gave me an angel. He, she, we don't know. He's right in front of me, leading me, guiding me. How cool would that be? Like, literally. It's like, man, I don't need a GTO. I don't need something really cool. I don't need a cool car. Give me an angel. That would be awesome. An Uber angel. Uber angel. Yeah. There's only like 3 people that got that. If you're confused, I'll tell you the story later. I don't have time today. Go up to the land. I'm going to send you an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and the Termites. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will, listen to what he says, but I will not travel among you. I'm going to give you everything you wanted. I'm going to give you a personal assistant called an angel right in front of you. You're going to have everything. But I'm not going. All right with you? Look what he says. Because you're stubborn and rebellious people, and if I did, I love this, I almost laughed at it. But if I did, I would surely destroy you along the way. How many parents have felt that at some point? You're like, kids, you've been begging for this. Go ahead, play Xbox for 8 hours. Because if I went with you, I'd be killing you. I'd be hurting you, right? You know, I'm not going to like let you just do this, but I'm so tired of you begging. Stop begging for what I don't want to give you, but if you want it, go ahead, you can have it, but I'm not going. And by the way, if I did, you'd be in trouble because I would just hurt you. But listen, this is a sweet deal. And look at verse 11. We'll skip down to verse 11. It says, inside the tent meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Moses had this deep dialogue relationship with God that was face to face, chest to chest, mouth to mouth, like heart to heart, mind to mind, eye to eye, so much so that it was like he was speaking to his best friend. And here's the reality of it. You can't just look at that and go, man, that must have been so cool. Moses, what a man of God. Boy, I can't wait to get to heaven and meet that guy. Hey, tell us what you saw. He's like, he's right there. He's right here. You don't need me anymore. And Moses would go inside this tent. He would go on top of the mountain, and he would see God face to face and have a conversation with him face to face, so much so that he would come out of these places completely glowing and not even knowing about it. But I love how Moses responds to God's request when he says, I'm going to give you the promised land, I'm going to send you an angel, I'm going to give you everything you wanted, but I'm not going. And look at what Moses says. Here's his response. If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Moses is saying, no, I don't want everything you've ever promised to me. I don't want the riches and the glory. I don't want the cultural trends. I don't want what everybody else is saying. I don't want the Instagram posts. I don't want the influence. I don't want the power or the titles. I don't want everything that everybody else wants. I know you think that I want this, God, but what I want is you. What I want is you. And all week, I've just been sitting for 2 weeks, I've been messing with this message. And I've been just sitting in my office at times, and I'm so enthralled with Moses' voice to God that I was saying, God, give me a heart like that. I'm not looking for the perfect life. I'm looking for the perfect relationship with the one who gives life. Put that on your bumper sticker. I just made that up, and that wasn't me. That was totally the Holy Spirit. That's not in your notes. Those are the things that as I sat in my office, I said, God, give me words that somehow will resonate with people in the room, not because they're on a screen and you look at them and you go, gosh, take a picture of that. That's really good. Write it down. Somebody tweet that tomorrow. No, because it actually penetrates your soul. It changes your countenance. It changes your life. God was offering Moses the promised land, and Moses is like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. But I wonder how many of us in this room would have taken that deal. How many of you would have taken that deal? Yeah, I can tell you right now, that would have been so enticing. So my question to you is, what is your promised land? What's your promised land? Because I would literally, I would hate it if God just said to you, what do you need? You want your bills paid? I got all the resources, I'll just pay them. Is that what you want? You want all your bills paid? I'll pay them. What do you want? You want a big family? You want more kids? I can make those kids happen. I can create them. You want that? I'll give that to you. Just take it. You want worldly happiness? You want to get up and have some sort of cultural influence? I created these people. I can make them like you. I can give you like 900 friends on Facebook. I can make your Instagram just start to explode. I can get YouTube starting to call you about all your cool videos. They'll say, hey, can we pay you? I can make that happen. You want that? Is that what you want? You want influence? You want power? You want an Instagram life? You want notoriety? You want prestige? You want titles? He's like, I created all of it and I can give it to you that if that's your promised land. For me personally, I thought 4 years ago when I got here that this place would be packed by now. And some of you would rather talk behind the scenes and actually say, he's doing something wrong because it's not packed by now. It ain't my church. This is not my building. This is not my pulpit. This is not my title. This is his church. And the less I surrender to his church and his presence and what he wants to do here, the less it becomes a powerful church. But the more I surrender, the more that I dig in, you know what I believe? I believe that if there were three people here today, I believe this with all my heart, that if only three people would have walked in, if these four would have walked in this morning and nobody else came, I literally would have sat here on this step and I would have talked to these four ladies and I would have believed that these are the four that God actually wanted me to speak to today. For the first time in so many years, God has freed my desires of actually wanting a big church or some sort of massive influence or a book deal or whatever it is that's out there. I could care less. But what I do care for is you. What I care for is that you would experience the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit so you could walk in freedom. So your tomorrows wouldn't be about insecurities that you're not sure, that their fears bringing insecurity in your life because you don't know what's going to happen, but you would walk into that and say, bring it on. Whatever it is, I'll face it because the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit is in me and walking with me, there's nothing that I can't achieve. And I've had to, over the last 2-3 weeks, I've had to repent for desires that weren't his. I've had to repent for things that were not his desires. And I've had to literally say, God, this is your church. This is your family. This is your neighborhood. This is your world. I give it back to you. I'm sorry for ever thinking that I owned it. What if you did that? What if you actually went to him with that type of clarity, that type of honesty? And here's Moses' reason for saying, I don't want all that. I just want your presence. And this is what he says. How will anyone know that you will look favorably upon me and your people? And if you don't go with us, how's anybody going to know? How's anybody going to know that I'm your kid? How is anybody going to know that you are my king? How's anybody going to know that I'm tethered to the God of the universe? How's anybody going to know that I actually love you and that you love me and that we are face to face and having conversations with one another? And he says this, for your presence among us sets your people and me apart. His presence sets me apart as a pastor. Not trying to come up with some clever idea or actually preach a sermon like the guy down the street at Red Rocks or some other church. His presence actually speaks. And when you see that in me, you will begin to see that that could be in you. And I want the uniqueness of God's presence in my life. I want his glory, and I want it to be loud in my life. I don't want to be just another man. I don't want to be just another husband. I don't want to be just another father. I don't want to just be another pastor. I want to be one that is set apart, one that people would look at and go, man, it's like his heart is glowing with the presence of God. What if every single person in this room was like that? Oh, my goodness. Look out, neighborhood. 100 people walking out of here today glowing. Not because you had some sunburn over the weekend. You're like, whoa, dude, you got sunburn. Do you know that? No, I don't have sunburn. And you would walk out of here and go, those people, there's something about them. And you know what? I think so many people are actually content to worship Moses. Because he would go on the mountain, he would go in the tent, he would come back glowing. He didn't even know he was glowing. And people would want to get around, like actually move away from him at first. He's like, yo, where are you going? Just come here, I got to tell you something. God's like speaking to me. He's speaking to me. I got to give you some instructions. Like, oh, seriously. And once he found out that that was the issue, he actually was scared that he would lose that power. So he would put a veil over his face. And my dad was telling me this last week. He goes, you know what that meant when he put a veil over his face? He was ashamed. He was scared that he would lose the glow, so much so that he would put a veil over his face so nobody would know that that was diminishing. And he would go back into the tent and he would get that glow and pull the veil off. And he'd just like, Lord, just fill me. I want to be in your presence. I want to. And Joshua, son of Nun's, like hanging outside the tent. He's like, dude, what did you see? You were just with God. Face to face. What was that like? And I think sometimes we're just so content to actually listen to somebody else's connection with God and let that somehow inspire you rather than you looking at this situation and saying, you know what? I'm going to go up the mountain by myself. I'll just climb that mountain. I'll go into that tent. I'll come and worship. Because you know what that tent could be? It could be your car ride on the way to work. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is as real there as it is this morning. You could beg for his presence every single day and you could bask in it and so much so that people would actually identify you as being unique. Not because you're weird, but because his presence is in you. And I am so guilty of this. Years ago, I went to a Renovare conference and I actually heard this guy like, one of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard. I heard him speak. I was like in the middle of the room and I heard him speak. And I mean, I'm like weeping listening to this man speak. I'm taking every note I can. I mean, my hand is tired, and I get up there at the end of the conference, and I told my dad, I'm with him, and I said, hey, I just got to go meet him. He's just standing up there. I'm going to go meet him. And so I walked up there, and I went to go meet him, and I stood before him, and I looked at him, and I said, hey, Dallas, my name is Donnie Hinshaw, and I know you don't know me, but I'm just... It's so awesome to hear you speak this morning and I like literally meet you. And I wanted to know could you just sign my book? I got Renovation of the Heart. It's really awesome. Love this book. I've read it like 8 times. I still don't know what it says, but at the same time, I love it, right? And I'm like, this guy's a deep thinker and I'm like reading it and my brain's burning and I'm like, yeah, but I really like him, you know? And I give him the book and I say, please sign it. And he signs it. And I said, do me one more favor. I said, I'm a youth pastor in Arvada, Colorado. And I started to weep. And I said, would you just please pray for me? Would you pray for the ministry that I lead? Would you just do that? And I went home and I wrote in my journal as best as I could what he said to me, because this is what Dallas Willard told me. Son, I will pray for you, but I will only pray that you will pray for yourself. Your giftedness will not be revealed by powerful levels because Dallas Willard is praying over your life. Your gifts and talents as a man of God will only be revealed by how desperate you are for the Holy Spirit to breathe them into your life. I will pray for you, but only that you will pray with the passion of the Holy Spirit to move through you. It is his power, not Dallas Willard's. Sometimes I think we're just content to take pictures with Moses and Dallas Willard. Instagram. I got to see Dallas Willard. What if you went to church on a Sunday morning and you were like, I just walked into this place and the Holy Spirit was so powerful and alive, I literally felt like I was sitting next to Jesus. And you took a picture and you sent it on Instagram. And you're like, I'm with Jesus right there. And everybody's like, he's not there. No, you have no idea. He was there. And what makes you want to go to a church? To walk into the room and say, gosh, that band was so tight. Music they sang, wow, amazing. Gifted communicator, is that what you're after? Like, what are you after? Why would you walk into a church just because of a man or a band or some cool thing that they're doing? But what if you walked into the church and you walked out and you said, I literally met the face of God there. And I met it in such a way that I can go home and I can meet that same God in my bedroom. And he's not the boogeyman under my bed. He's the Holy Spirit in me, with me, around me, in front of me. What would you accomplish if you literally believed that the power of the Holy Spirit was in you like that? There's nothing that would get in your way. There's no marriage that is too broken. There's no illness that you wouldn't pray over. There's not anything in your life that you would say, I can't get there with you on that, God. And this is what I love. Moses says this. Or the Lord replied to Moses. He says to him, he says, I will indeed do what you have asked. How cool is it to actually talk to God face to face in such a way, so desperately, that his reply to you is like, all right, that's awesome. I'll just do what you asked me to do then. I'll go with you. I will indeed do what you've asked, for I look favorably upon you and I know you by name. And Moses responded, I love this. It's like like that wasn't even enough. So, oh, okay, so you're gonna go with me. And he said, okay, then show me your glory. So, oh, you don't want me to show you your glory. You'll like die if I show you my glory. Like, that's a dangerous ask. How many of us are just content with Moses or a worship band or a song by Chris Tomlin or Bethel or some awesome church that's out there that's doing amazing things, writing cool songs about their experiences? How many of you are content with everybody else's experiences and not content with seeking your own? Like, what if you were content because you found the face of God in your life? Because you know what prayer is? That. Prayer is not some scripted thing that you got to pray out loud and everybody thinks you're holy because you got all the right words. The best prayers in the world are often kids' prayers because they're humble and they're sweet and they're quiet and they don't even know what really to pray for. My little grandson, Beckham, does that. We pray over lunch and say, Beckham, will you pray? And you're just like... Jesus, thank you. Amen. And everybody's like, yes, let's eat. And if you ask my mom to pray, you're going to starve, right? Like, you ask her to pray over food, it's cold, it's stale, and there's mildew on everything. Like, it's moldy. Like, nobody wants to eat it after that. Not even her cobbler. We're like, gosh, that is nasty. You've been praying for like 9 years while we've been starving to death. So I had a whole lot more, but you know what the freedom of not putting a bunch of notes on the screen is? That you don't have to get it all. I'll give it to you next week. But if you get one thing, get this. Get this. Ask yourself this question. What's my promised land? What deal would I take? Will I pursue something because it's just a desire of my own heart, or will I pursue it because I want to believe that the presence of God will be there and he is with me, guiding me, leading me? And the fact is, I'm not content with some angel. I'm not content with Dallas Willard. I'm not content with some song that somebody else wrote. I'm not content with some future that I perceive myself because the culture says, if you do this and get this, you're going to be successful. I'm content only with the fact that no matter what I face, if he's with me, there's nothing that could be against me. If he's with you, oh, pursue that. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Because I'm not going to manipulate this. Not manipulating this. Not going to give you some story. Not going to sit here and tell you something that's just going to tug at your heartstrings and you just go, oh, that was so touching. I guess that must be God. No, it's just a good story. But I'm going to ask you to do this. While they play, while they begin to play, while they begin to open up what we're going to do in response, would you actually visualize yourself? Everybody, close your eyes. Stop looking at your devices. I'm going to turn mine off. And I'm going to ask you for a moment to visualize yourself going to the mountain. Walking into that tent. Visualize yourself being face to face with God. Visualize yourself hearing his words speak into you, saying, listen to the one who has created you. Listen to the one who's actually forming you. Listen to the one who's going to free you. I'm glad you climbed the mountain. I'm glad you came up here. Because I've been interceding for you. I've been praying for you. I've been waiting for you to just pursue me. Because I've been pursuing you before you ever began. Visualize yourself going to that mountain and see him face to face. And if that means you got to get up and go and come down to the altar, because this place has been packed for 2 weeks, and I don't know why, but I know that God is doing something really special. But I'm not manipulating. I'm not going to ask you to come. I'm just saying, if that's what happens in you, then come. Follow the lead of the Holy Spirit in your life right now. And here's one last thing. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know God, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, and you want to, just raise your hand. No one's looking. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. You want to know him more. You want to surrender yourself to him at deeper levels right now. Raise your hand. That's first time or any time. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome. before we go today, I'm going to ask you just open up your hands to the Lord. Just receive this as a word to you. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why would you ever want to go back again to becoming slaves once more to the weak and the useless principles, spiritual principles of this world? And here's why you shouldn't, because you are a child of God. And he has sent his Spirit inside of you. He sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, prompting you to call out, Abba, Father. He's been interceding for you so that you would have a voice to actually cry out to him, Abba, Father. So as you're comfortable with that, and I'm not said I wasn't going to manipulate it, but maybe we just do that. Count of three. One, two, three. Abba, Father. Do it one more time. One, two, three. Now you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God made you an heir to the kingdom. Amen. So go live today like kingdom kids. Walk out of this door with a glow on your face because your tomorrows are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that your future is already scripted. And no matter what you face tomorrow, being a child of God gives you the power of his Holy Spirit inside of you to overcome and achieve anything that he puts before you. Go be the church. Amen. Have an awesome week. I love you very much. Thanks for letting me be your pastor. You guys have an awesome week.